I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. I'm your host, Jason Galloway, with the Wisconsin State Journal. We will have a Badgers, probably have a Badgers player to be named later, later on the podcast, meaning that I'm recording this before I do that interview, so I don't know who I'm talking to yet. But first, we're going to have Ben Wargel from 247sports.com. It's the same Ben Wargel that's been on the podcast before, just a different website.
I've been traded for a sports writer to be named later. How are you doing?
Good, Ben. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure.
So we're to a point now where we're getting close to this team making the playoffs. Did you expect them to be 11-0 at this point? And let me put it this way: do you think they have a lot better chance of making the playoffs now than maybe a little earlier in the season?
Yeah, I think the dominoes fell for them 2 weekends ago when they beat Iowa, and you knew ranked teams were going to lose because of the slate of games. And fortunately for them, the right-ranked teams lost. Getting Notre Dame a second loss I thought was critical because Notre Dame had, a manageable schedule on the way. I'll be interested to see how they play Stanford this weekend, but fortunately we really don't have to care because Notre Dame most likely is not going to be in the mix. Seeing Georgia lose I thought was critical to a multi-loss Auburn team. And then, you see, the way... that Oklahoma-TCU game played out with Oklahoma winning by multiple touchdowns. I thought all of that benefited Wisconsin to have them a nice leap up to where now they control their own fate to get in. Now, the Michigan game was big. That's another ranked win for them. The game in 2 weeks will be big. That's your final stamp in front of the committee. Of course, I think that will be moot if they don't beat Minnesota this weekend. That would be a pretty gnarly loss on your resume this late in the season. I think when I came on before the season... I predicted them to go 11-1, but I didn't know what team they lose to. I just felt it would be so hard to predict this team to go 12-0 because, I don't know, maybe it's the having been covering Wisconsin for so many years, you expect the worst to happen because it's going to happen at some point. And so far it hasn't happened. It's been very good, exceptionally good for this team because of their defense. Their special teams have come on lately, and the offense has made it just enough big plays to keep this team winning and winning comfortably.
Yeah, I mean, do you see any scenario at all where they could win these last two games and knock it in? Say, Clemson, won a thriller over Miami and Alabama and Oklahoma won out or anything like that. Anything that would really get the Twitter sphere going from Wisconsin fans.
Man, then the committee would be leaving out a 13-0 team from a Power 5 conference who in their final four games beat teams the committee deemed worthy enough to rank. And the last one being a top, will likely be a top 10 Ohio State team. I can't see Michigan beating Ohio State this weekend. That would be tough. I can't see it. I'll be interested to see what happens this weekend with the Iron Bowl. I'll be interested to see what happens in 2 weekends with the ACC Championship game. Wisconsin has all everything ahead of them. They control their path to the playoff. Now I'll be interested to see if they do win these final two games, what they'll be ranked. Will they be ranked fourth and have to go against the number one seed? Will they be in that 2-3 game? Will they be in New Orleans? Will they be in Pasadena? I'm looking forward to seeing Wisconsin play Ohio State in 2 weeks. Not that I'm not looking forward to seeing Wisconsin beat Minnesota. I mean, play Minnesota this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing this matchup in the Big Ten Championship game because I think this Ohio State team will really push Wisconsin in ways that no team has pushed them this year.
Yeah, and I think you look at, we're talking about the playoffs. We're talking about the Ohio State game, and this team's got to try to focus on Minnesota. Like you said, it'd be a really gnarly loss. I mean, not only would, if they don't take care of business this week, not only would their playoff hopes be dashed, but then they would suddenly not have the axe for the first time in 13 years. It would be probably one of the most devastating losses in the recent history of this program.
Probably in the whole history of this rivalry, the longest in FBS football. I think this would be the 127th meeting this weekend. And, this would probably be the one that would crushed Wisconsin more than any other, and I'm sure Minnesota would dance in the streets. They'd burn couches for months with the axe. They'll pass it around to every resident of the Twin Cities area to celebrate. But it's hard to really buy into Minnesota winning this game because of how poorly they have played. You know, their one big maybe game that opened eyes was their game over Nebraska that I think a lot of people pegged them to lose. And now, but of course, Nebraska is a new kind of awful this year with a program that has lost faith in its coaching staff. They're not playing for their they're kind of that point. This Nebraska team reminds me of what Wisconsin was in 2008, which I know is before your time, but that year they went 7-6. It was Bielma's third year, and you had a bunch of players on the team, really good players, who turned into individual players at that point in time. They were just playing for themselves. They're playing for, you know, the professional level. That kind of reminds me of what, you know, we've seen on Nebraska the last couple weeks. But being back to Minnesota, you know, you have that really nice win over Nebraska, and then you go home and you just lay an absolute egg against Northwestern. You can't throw the ball. Your running game was bottled up. I mean, that's, you know, Minnesota thrives on being one-dimensional this year because they don't have a passing game. And so this Wisconsin team, the way they've shut down opponent after opponent on the ground, especially with Michigan. Michigan held to 56 yards, I think 37 carries. I can't see Minnesota getting any semblance of a ground game going, and you know, this passing game for Minnesota just isn't good enough to keep pace with Wisconsin.
And Minnesota does have a ton on the line here. They're trying to get bowl eligible. It's senior day. They're trying to break that 13-game losing streak to Wisconsin and get the axe back. But, you know, like you mentioned to me a few minutes ago before we started recording, that was the case in 2015 too.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I think it was the exact same scenario for them being 5-6 and senior day and all the rest. They couldn't pull it off against a Wisconsin team that had really struggled offensively and were starting four retro freshmen on the offensive line. And this is a different animal this year with the Badgers being 11-0 and ranked number 5 in the country. And it is hard to see them winning this game.
Yeah, I remember sitting up at the press box for that game and just thinking to myself, man, this is going to be tough. There's a lot of energy in the stadium that day. There was a lot of excitement. Thinking that this would be the year, and Wisconsin just ran the ball down their throats. You know, Taiwan Deal had a big game, had a couple touchdowns. I think Dari Gumbawale had a big game. Yeah, I think Wisconsin ran for like 257-ish, I want to say, on the ground. I mean, it was just power, 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 and Minnesota couldn't stop it. And you know, I thought the game a year ago was very entertaining. That Wisconsin was down 17-7. Kind of the same situation they're in now. Wisconsin had clinched the Big Ten West. They were going to Indianapolis. They knew they were going to, you know, play for a Big Ten championship. They had the axe game here. It was senior day. And Wisconsin came out flat. You know, they were down 17-7 at half. They had taken a lead, and Minnesota, like, immediately had a 69-yard kickoff return. They scored on the next play after that. And there was just no rhythm. There was no flow to Wisconsin. And then mild-mannered Leo Musso grabs the axe, goes to the center of the locker room, and just basically says, play for this. And Wisconsin then picked off Mitch Leiner four times. They got the ground game going, and then that turned the entire flow of the game around. So that I would be more concerned about with this team. You already have your spot clinched, and not to overlook it. But to be fair, Wisconsin really hasn't overlooked anybody this year with the way they have played. You just have to think that will continue and that Wisconsin will be able to go into Indianapolis with a lot of momentum for basically a college football play-in game.
One of the big stories coming off the Michigan game was Alex Hornibrook, who threw yet another interception in Big Ten play, but came back and made the throws he needed to do to win the game and get Wisconsin's offense going. I think it's obviously Hornibrook has been the most polarizing, you know, player on this roster, as the quarterback usually is. He's got to stop making mistakes, but then again, he's also having stretches of games where he's playing really well. Do you think that he is a good enough quarterback to be the starter for a team that wins the national title?
That's a good question. Yeah, I thought he was better on Saturday. I didn't think he got much help from the line. I thought Michigan's defensive line did a good job slanting, getting up the field, to get ahead of the blocking scheme, and I thought a lot of plays were not blocked exceptionally well, so you have edge rushers coming at free on him, that he just did not get good rhythm. And, you know, the interception, I have to watch it again. I didn't think it was a terrible throw compared to some of his other ones, but still a throw that he probably should not have made. You know, in coverage, guy makes a good pick, tips it to himself. But then after that, he just made some incredible throws. The throw to A.J. Taylor for 51 yards, the second longest passing play of the season, was well placed. The touchdown throw to Taylor later in the drive was a great read. He was reading the safety. The safety crashed down on Troy Klumgauer. They're running four verts. And Hornibrook saw that, and then he went to Taylor on the post and made just a perfect throw. And then even the pass to Danny Davis on the next series was well placed. It was a great one-handed catch by the true freshman too. So, you know, when Alex is on, he's very, very tough. When he's not, it's very hard to watch. So, like I joked with John Bellheis, who I know you've had on before, before he goes in the locker room, just throw a pick. Throw it to anybody. Throw it to a manager. Throw it to Paul Chris. Just throw it to a fan. Just get it out of your system. And then come out. And when after he gets that mistake over and done with, he really plays some good football. So can he lead Wisconsin to a national title? No. He certainly has the pieces around him to be successful. And who would think we'd be saying that, considering the pieces are a true freshman running back, a sophomore wide receiver who did next to nothing a year ago, and two other freshman wide receivers. It's pretty impressive how this unit of youth has really thrived over the course of these last two games against their best competition of the year.
Yeah, if I told you before the season that Chris James and Bradrick Shaw wouldn't really be heard from, and Quintez Cephas would suffer a season-ending injury, and I mean, you would have
Jazz PV would be off the team. Would be off I would the thought team. That, you know, we'd be getting ready for the Music City Bowl in a couple of weeks. So this has been impressive. It'll be interesting to see how Paul is viewed in all these, you know, coaching awards that are going to be, you know, released here in the next couple of weeks. But he's done an impressive job with this team. You know, he'll get some flack for the schedule they've played, but look at the amount of injuries that they've had, and look at the amount of no-name players stepping up. Andrew Van Ginkel, Tyler Johnson. You know, look at the play of, you know, Zach Hintz on kickoff, with P.J. Rosowski being down for most of the year. It's very impressive what this staff has done to keep Wisconsin moving forward this year.
Do you give them much chance against – do you get? Well, I mean, obviously we give them some chance against Ohio State, but do you give them you know, do you feel like you're leaning toward thinking that they are going to win that game, or do you kind of view Ohio State as, you know, if they're a team that's on their game, it's going to be very difficult to beat them?
They're kind of like Alex Hornibrook to a degree. When they're on, and when they're not, they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, they've laid two major eggs this year. The game against Oklahoma, and then they got into a real nice rhythm, you know, beat some good teams, you know, needed a furious comeback to beat Penn State at home. And then they come out and they just lay an absolute egg against Iowa. And then, you know, we saw that Iowa team, you know, a week later, and Wisconsin just dominated them from an offensive standpoint. So, and then, you know, Ohio State rebounds by pasting Michigan State at home. So it's hard to really figure out how good this Ohio State team is. I think I saw a week and a half ago, projected odds for the conference championship game, and Wisconsin opened to like a 5.5-point favorite, which I was kind of surprised.
Oh, really?
With. It'll be interesting to see how these two teams handle this weekend. How Wisconsin handles going on the road against Minnesota, how Ohio State handles the game. Certainly, you know, we pointed to a couple of years ago when these two teams played in the 2013 Big Ten Championship game? 14?
It was the 14.
I've erased it from my memory for obvious reasons. Where Wisconsin was favored in that game. Which is funny to think about.
Like four, I think.
Yeah, in retrospect. Because Ohio State had so many injuries, and they just came out, and they were just in rhythm the whole game. Wisconsin had nothing going. Gary Anderson already had his bags packed for out west. I'll give Wisconsin a puncher's chance in that game. Am I going to pick them? I don't know. I probably will lean towards Ohio State and see if my reverse jinx will work. But I'm really looking forward to seeing that game and seeing how Wisconsin plays, knowing they have everything, have a whole new level of Wisconsin football, something that Wisconsin football has never done before. That Wisconsin football has never been 13-0. They've never been in the college football playoff. Never been playing for a national title in, you know, God knows how many years. This is going to be a fun couple of weeks, I think, for Wisconsin football fans. Yeah.
What's the playoff matchup you most want to see? I mean, obviously you could have Alabama and New Orleans. You could have Miami or Clemson in the Rose Bowl. You could.
I'm always trying to think of all the possibilities. I always will cheer for a warm afternoon in Pasadena, California, at the Rose Bowl. I would like. It'd be nice to see him play there again. Of course, New Orleans would be great, but playing New Orleans and playing Alabama in New Orleans, nah, I'll pass. And just because it won't be a game that I think Wisconsin will certainly be the road team in that game, no question about it. You and I remember what it was like in Arlington a couple of years ago, and Wisconsin fans traveled well, but certainly not as passionate as Alabama fans traveled. If I'm looking at the top four as it stands right now, I think Wisconsin would have a great chance to knock off Clemson and play that game in Pasadena. I think if that's the top four we're looking at, sign me up for that matchup. I think that would be a matchup that Wisconsin, I think, would be very favorable in.
I wouldn't pick them against anybody in the top four right now, but who knows? I mean, Miami looked a little bit shaky against Virginia, and that's probably just...
Your precious Tide hasn't looked that great either.
They haven't looked great. I don't think that Wisconsin could go into New Orleans and beat them. Alabama fans would take that place over if they play in New Orleans, but...
But I think the great thing about this Wisconsin team is that they don't care about any of the outside noise. They don't care if they're favored. They don't care how long it's been since Minnesota's won the Axe. They don't care about what they're ranked in the college football playoff. All they care about is the next game on the schedule, and that's Minnesota. They're worried about this Minnesota team. And, you know, they've been locked in that way the whole year. They don't pay attention to the outside noise. So we'll have to see. Got to win this one, and then certainly got to win against Ohio State. And the good thing, too, is a lot of the returning players on this team, guys like Troy Fumagalli, guys like Michael Deer, guys like Alex Hornibrook, took exception to Michigan being the more physical team than they were a year ago, to them being out-muscled, out-toughed in a lot of different areas, and played with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, Alex Hornibrook is pretty mild-mannered. He doesn't really... reveal a whole lot, but he admitted after the game that this was a game that he wanted. He wanted to play this game. He wanted to seek a little bit of redemption, and he did. And you could bet your bottom dollar that this team is mad about what happened in Indianapolis last year, where they had the game in control against Penn State, allowed a late touchdown, and then just came out flat in the third quarter, and Penn State took the game over, and they were never able to recover. And I imagine some of these players will remember what happened in 14 against Ohio State. These guys remember what happened against Ohio State last year when they let a winnable game slip away in overtime here. So this group will have plenty of motivation here the next couple weeks to finish out this season.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to hear Alex Hornibrook say that about last year's Michigan game, but you'd mentioned last year's Big Ten title game. That was going into the interview room after that, there was a different feel it with that team and those players than I have really felt before with even Paul Christ. I mean, usually these guys are just so even keeled, win or lose. And I mean, you could tell it affected even Paul Christ. Sojourner Shelton seemed just kind of like in shock sort of. And it was a game that it looked like it was over and they blew it. And
they did. They knew it too. They knew it. They had things firmly in control and some missed opportunities, some missed tackles, let that passing game really take off, and they were powerless to stop it. Now, this defense is much better than what it was a year ago, in my opinion. I think this offense is better. I know they would love to play Penn State, but I think this team secretly is chomping at the bit to get another piece of Ohio State.
I can probably just replay this podcast for next week, too. We talked about the Big Ten title game a lot, the playoffs, and if you're a Wisconsin football player listening to this, just ignore everything we just said.
Just ignore.
So you can focus on Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, feel free. Cut it up, and it'll save you some time for next week.
Thanks for joining me, Ben.
My pleasure.
We now welcome Badgers wide receiver A.J. Taylor to the Red Zone Podcast. How you doing, A.J.?
I'm good. I'm great.
thanks for joining us today. So a big game for you against Michigan. Did that kind of
And I know, you know, you had made plays in the past, but did that kind of, you know, validate the work you'd been putting in to make sort of, I guess some people would say, you know, season-saving plays when it looked like the offense was kind of dead, and then you had the two big plays with the touchdown. Describe kind of how you were feeling after those plays.
I mean, it felt great. I've been working hard throughout the off season, you know, through the summer, through fall camp, and it felt good for it to, you know, pay off in a big game like that, and to just for me to do well and help out the team. That's the biggest thing, and help the seniors really. That's all. Like, my only goal in that game was to just get the seniors a win on senior day, and we did it.
Now, you guys as a receiving core, after the game, we're pretty vocal about, you know, I guess feeling like you guys deserve more attention than maybe you've been getting. You know, I think some, you know, I think when Quintez went down, people were like, oh, this is, you know, this is going to be really bad for their offense. And but you and Kendrick and Danny have really stepped up. Did you want to, did you want to kind of show people that this, you know, this group was still a group that could really make plays?
Most definitely. Like, we know that, yeah, Q going down was a big hit, but at the same time, we're all good receivers, we're great receivers, talented and skilled, and we all work hard. So we know that, like, even though he was gone, we could keep it up, we could step up, and we could still make plays, and we could still be big time receiver group, a big time receiver core, and help out the offense in whichever way they need us. So we just, yeah, we wanted a little bit of credit, you know, that we are here, we had to show that we're here, and we can do what we need to do.
Yeah, I know you had some problems with drops last year. Is that something you really worked on in the offseason? What did you do to kind of help fix that?
Yeah, I definitely did. I definitely, like, I was catching all the time, and I mean, I'm still having a problem with drops. Like, I dropped one today, but it's just something you got to always work on, you know? The offense is getting more comfortable now. I could spend more time on just catching and focusing in on the ball and just staying in the present moment. I think that's the biggest reason why I did do what I did, because I was too focused on other things instead of the present.
Is that just a matter of just getting on the jugs machine, catching a ton of passes? Is that kind of how you fix that, or is it just more of a concentration thing? Or?
For me, I feel like it's more concentration. It's a mentality you got to go at with it. Like I said, if you just stay focused on like that moment and be in the moment, you'll be fine. But it's like a concentration, stay focused mentality.
I know you played a lot of running back in high school. Mm-hmm. That was like your primary position, right? Is that why maybe the catching isn't coming as naturally? Or obviously the catching is natural, but.
Yeah,
some of the drops.
I get what you're saying, yeah. I mean, running back, definitely, we didn't really throw it a lot. But at the same time, I can't make that an excuse for myself. I just still got to go out there and work and just work to get better, compete.
How impressive have you been with Kendrick lately? You know, he's a guy that I feel like, I mean, going back to last year when you and Quintez and he all came in, all three of you were performing well in fall camp, it seemed like, and he was kind of the one, the odd man out that got redshirted. And then he comes into this fall camp and suffers the moped accident, and he has to miss some time. How do you feel like he was able to handle that and come back?
I'm very impressed with how he came back mentally and, you know, physically, how he's getting stronger and preparing each day. And he just works hard, and he does what he needs to do he did what he needed to do to get back on the field. And, well, look what it's done for us now. So, I mean, it's helped us a lot, and I'm glad, really glad. I'm grateful.
Did you feel like he was, you know, he was really right there with you and Quintez last year when you guys came in as true freshmen?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were all kind of in the same kind of boat at that point, and it was just a matter of, you know, just working and seeing what the coaches decide. So, but yeah, he definitely was, and he still is.
Did you three, when you came in, did you three kind of think during that first fall camp, we can be a really good trio down the road, like we can really kind of take over this position?
For sure. I mean, that's what we talked about, really, when we was together. We were like, this is going to be us. When we got reps together and, like, 11 personnel and stuff like that, we were like, yeah, this is going to be us real soon. So we just got to keep working and stay humble and keep grinding.
Is it a little difficult is it difficult at all to focus on Minnesota this week? I know it's a rivalry game, but with that big Ohio State game next week, people seem to be outside the program seem to be looking ahead.
No, I mean, we're not really looking ahead. I'm more focused on Minnesota and just getting that axe and keeping the axe, should I say. And so I'm not even thinking about Ohio State right now.
Is it how long does it take you, a guy coming from out of state, to understand like how important the access to this program? When did you kind of realize that?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. It takes a while. Probably like right around now. Probably about a. Once that week hit last year, that was probably the hit for me. Like, all right, this is serious. We gotta do this. This is our rivalry. And I mean, I wasn't too big on it last year, but this year, like, it's even more, you know, important to me and to like the team. I guess for like us, my grade, that we get that axe because we know how important that rivalry is, and we can't lose it. You know, we gotta fight.
All right, thanks, AJ.
No problem.
That's going to do it for this week. A big thanks to Ben and Kendrick for coming on the podcast. You can follow Ben on Twitter at TheBadgerNation and follow me at Jason_Galloway. You can also join me for a live chat on Twitter Saturday after the game at Minnesota. And keep visiting Madison.com for all of your Badgers football coverage. Thanks for listening.